In St. Joe, they are still wrapping up practice. At some point, we are going to be joined by Chiefs wide receiver Xavier Worthy, entering year number two. Obviously, a great finish of the season for him in terms of individual performances and big expectations here in year number two for Xavier Worthy. So he's going to join us in a little bit. We're also expected to hear from Andy Reid at some point this hour or next as well. We'll bring you that live here on Cody and Gold. Of course, our training camp coverage brought to you by Breaktime, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. Before we get to a player, it is time for Camp Darling Island.
Nine players arrive in St. Joe for Camp Island. Only one can take home the final prize. Who will be the 2025 Chiefs Camp Darling?
We drafted one a couple days ago. We did nine players for our Camp Darling Island draft. Every year, everybody falls in love with a player or two. Every year, we get texts about a player. Oh, they can't cut this guy. He's going to be a future star. Justin Ross, Jody Fortson, LRZ. So we wanted to have fun this year.
So many good names over the years.
Reminder, these are the players involved. Cody, you drafted Rashard Smith, Jared Wiley, Elijah Mitchell, Drew, Tyquan Thornton, Jake Brenningstuhl, Omar Norman Lott, who also got some good work with the ones today, by the way.
Ooh.
I have Jalen Royals, Noel Williams, and Jaquarius Spivey. Somebody has to be eliminated. Remember the rules, though. There are certain things that can give you immunity. There are certain things that can bring you back on the island as well. But somebody has to be eliminated. Let's go through who clearly is not getting eliminated today based off of reps and everything. There has been too much noise and too many plays already by Tyquan Thorne. He is safe.
Correct.
We all agree?
Yes, he is safe.
Jalen
Royals, I believe, is also safe, my opinion, as a player who's been very involved.
I think Omar Norman Lott is safe. He got a lot of work with the first team again today,
which is unusual for a Spags player.
Mm-hmm.
So Omar Norman Lott, we also believe to be safe. Now, here's some guys who I think deservedly, and I think Rashard Smith is still safe because he's been running with the ones. He caught a long touchdown yesterday.
Okay.
I think he's safe as well. Here's the players who I think deserve a conversation. Jared Wiley, quiet. Quiet camp so far. I'm not saying he's had a big camp.
But Andy did talk about him 2 days ago said they like what they've seen. He's working his butt off and all that kind of
Elijah
stuff.
Elijah Mitchell, quiet.
Yes.
Right? Those two guys for me, I haven't heard anything for. Jake Brenningstuhl is a name that I thought would be hot on Camp Island. But in the early going, still hasn't quite made a name for himself
yet. Got reps
yet.
With the ones yesterday.
He was another reps with the one guy. Noel Williams.
Haven't heard anything yet.
I will say, Spags yesterday talked about Noel Williams and said, looked like everything's a little fast for him.
Okay.
Got to slow things down for him a little bit. So that maybe puts him in a little bit of dicey territory.
Okay.
And then Jaquarius Spivey, who we did see him have a catch today. And he is a monster-sized human being. So, that part stands out. But I
think that's good enough
to
keep him. I think that's good enough to save him.
What? Well, then who do you think should go?
Well, I think Elijah Mitchell had no action.
Elijah Mitchell, I think, is on the chopping block potentially.
I think it's either Elijah Mitchell or Jaquarius Spivey, if you're being honest.
Here's the tricky thing. If we're basing off of right now, because I think there's a very good chance at some point during preseason, Elijah Mitchell has plenty of opportunity in a preseason game and everybody gets excited.
Get back on the island.
He can get back on. Spivey obviously is up against the name. I drafted him because of the name. He's way down the depth chart. I recognize that. I think if we're being fair, I think I even have to admit.
You think it's Jaquarius?
I think he has
That's
to
such
be.
A good name.
He has to be eliminated unless he ends up doing something special.
Drew, he hasn't done anything.
I know,
man.
But based on what you guys said,
one catch.
That's what I'm saying is that Jared Wiley hasn't done anything either. So is it between those two then?
Ooh.
Are we talking Spivey or Wiley or what?
Again. Nobody has even talked about Jaquarius Spivey. If we're doing Camp Darling Island, Jared Wiley's name has been mentioned by the head coach of this football team,
That's right. I forgot about Andy
Reid.
Yeah, that's right. He was asking
about he said his name out loud.
Yeah.
And if we're choosing between two teams to kick off of
Camp
Darling Island, I think you have to choose the person who hasn't even gotten a mention from the head coach so far.
So now you have to be mentioned by the head coach.
Well, I think it's another way to stay. I think it's another way to stay alive if you're at risk of elimination.
Mm.
He was obviously at risk of elimination. Tyquan Thornton got listed as the play of the day on Chiefs.com.
He was the most safe player
on the island.
We said he was safe.
Him
right
and Rashard
away.
Smith nobody's, are probably up there.
Nobody's debating.
What are we going to do? Somebody says, "What are you guys going to do if Jody Fortson gets a contract a week from now?"
Well, he gets. You guys not watch reality TV? All of a sudden, the ex-boyfriend or girlfriend gets to come back on The Bachelor or and cause all kinds of drama. So,
we have to do a double elimination.
If they sign somebody during camp, there's a chance that player gets on the island. Yes.
If we get rained out and don't get to camp, we have to do a double elimination.
Ooh, that's right.
Look, New bombshells can always enter the island, as the Twitter put it yesterday. We are open to those things being moved around. I think I agree with you, Gold. I think right now, I think Spivey's the guy to kick off the
I knew it was risky.
I think Spivey's the first guy off the island.
I knew he was the favorite to be off first. He's like fifth on the depth chart, if there was a depth chart at this point in time. I drafted him because of the name, because if he made a play, he would catch on immediately. I was banking on that. He's going to have to do something in preseason to get back on the island. All right, so we
are. Agree.
Eliminating our first player.
Jaquarius Spivey.
Camp Darling right. Island, Jaquarius Spivey.
Best name in Camp Darling Island.
He's gone from our island.
So he's eliminated.
All right.
Drew, I got to say, so far, your team's off to a hot start.
Very good start.
I know. I thought I was disappointed.
Now, Omar Norman.
Drew is winning the pre-pads training camp portion, all right? They are wearing shells. And that in shorts. They're not even in pads yet. That's where things can get a little interesting. Norman Lott is off to a strong start. What happens when the pads are on? Could be good. It could hurt him. We'll see.
That's a good point.
And Tyquan, I still think that guy's at risk of just getting cut one day. Like, you got to
That
you
would
risk.
Be very unfortunate.
Yeah, but you know what?
Not by the time we finish Camp
but
Island.
But Thorne though. Is a player, because he is going to be in that sixth wide receiver convo, he's going to get a lot of run during preseason games,
yeah.
And he will naturally just have – he's gonna, like, he's probably scoring a touchdown in preseason. And people are going to – this is the same thing that happened with Remigio a couple years
Tyquan.
Ago. He's going
to
look good in preseason games because, yeah, Bailey Zappi or Gardner Minshew are going to throw to him. He's going to be going up against threes, and he's going to look really good.
He's a former first-rounder.
Yeah.
He's got skills. He's been in the NFL. He'll look a lot better than other third-string guys.
Yeah.
Honestly, your best pick was Omar Norman Lott.
Yeah, someone says, do you know how reality shows work? The X's always come back, Gold. That's what I just said?
Yeah, did I not just say
he can come back? That's exactly what
you
I
were
said.
You were reading that. Was that a text that you read?
Yes.
You read a text. That was the text. Okay.
Word for word what you said.
I literally said
Gold
that.
Said that exact same thing.
We know how this works. Little news in the football world as we await Xavier Worthy will come over and speak to us after practice. Missouri's Eli Drinkwitz has received a contract extension that will keep him the Missouri Tigers head coach through the 2029 season.
Big for recruiting. That's been, one, he's done a great job recruiting, but also big on the retreat. You don't want other coaches saying, hey, this contract,
you
could leave. That's big for recruiting. To this point, I would say well-deserved in terms of the talent he's brought in. I know people are disappointed that they didn't get in the CFP last year, and I thought that it was set up perfectly for them to do that. The quarterback injuries didn't hurt them. The big question this year is do they find a quarterback or not? But there's been tons of talent, more talent on that roster than they've ever had at Mizzou, just overall in terms of by recruiting rankings and things like that. So
my problem is he talks
general,
like he's the head coach of Alabama, and he's not.
For sure. Look, I'm trying to be nice. You know I'm not a big fan of his. I will give him props, though, for what he has done. Yeah, I don't like how he operates, but that's his own thing. But congratulations to him on the contract extension.
Yeah, he's going to be there through the 2029 season, or at least on paper will be there through the 2029 season. I can't disagree with you in that argument. And then they are bringing in more talent than they have. Although I will say, they're going to need to keep up the quarterback talent. Like, they got to hope that, you know, the guys playing QB are the guys that he brings in, because he's bringing in talent on a lot of other parts of the field, but not necessarily at quarterback where they've had some issues.
Yeah, the question is, because they brought in Bo Pribula from the portal, is he actually the goods? If he's not, Sam Horn, who just got drafted, by the way, in the MLB draft, he could be there. Then they also have Matt Zollers, who's the 4-star QB that they brought over, that they got true freshman. He's probably not ready yet, but I think it's Pribula. We'll see.
Why can't two freshmen play in college? Is this just like
a big
body
jump,
thing?
Man. It's a big jump.
Is that what it is? I'm always just curious about that. Because
all of
like,
a sudden, playing
like
SEC football
don't start. You
just
know,
playing SEC football just like that right out of high school. That's a very rare.
It's tough,
very
especially
rare
for like a for a guy
that's
not a top tier guy like a Bryce Underwood or a.
Yeah, Bryce
Lawrence
Underwood,
or,
I guess, is the exception to that.
Yeah,
but he's also
exactly. You know,
Underwood is viewed as one of those like future star type
yeah,
of
correct.
Guys. Now they could be wrong, but just that's the thought process. Didn't Tom Brady get involved in that recruitment? Like, wasn't that the report
so.
On that for?
Yeah, I think he gave him a call
so,
on.
All three local.
Day,
so for
day.
The drink, which you just mentioned, gets an extension. I think Kleiman got one a year or two ago.
Yeah.
Lance Leipold just got one as well. All three, now it doesn't mean they can't leave, but
stable.
But all three right now appear to have the guy they wanted, truly one in charge, and everybody feels good about their head coach, I would argue, right?
Like, yes.
I think Mizzou fans feel great about their head coach,
Kansas,
as they should.
They gotta feel
I think Candace obviously feels great about Leipold. I think K-State fans, why wouldn't you feel good about Kleiman? Also, you got a great chance to get out of the three locals. K-State has the best chance to get to the CFP of
I think
any
they
of
could
them.
Win the Big 12, yeah. Like, I, if you look at the locals right now, they're all in a stable position, but it's can anybody take the leap back forward? Can K-State win it? Can we do that? All those stuff inside.
All right, let's go over to the tent while we're waiting for Xavier Worthy, and let's hear what Andy Reid has to say after today's practice.
Because he'd be a heck of a coach if he decides to go that way. He'd be tremendous. But we wish he and his family all the best going forward here. With that, it's been great to get out here, get these days in. We've had three really good days of work where we get ones against ones, twos against twos, threes against threes. So there's some competition there and some good solid work. It's a ramp-up period. We've got another day or two of this, and then we start right in with pads and on Sunday.
What's your reaction when you heard that he was retiring? And secondly, what's his legacy in your opinion?
Yeah, well, the legacy is great ball skills, great player, great guy. Always been a team captain everywhere he's been at, including here. He got a Super Bowl championship here, and he was a leader on defense. So I think he'll leave all that behind. But and that's not even talking about being, if he chose to do that throughout his career, he probably would have set all the records of punt return. So he was tremendous at that. Anyway, I could go on and on about him. The Honey Badger. That'll be part of the legacy also. He would sit on the bench there and he'd make all kinds of funny noises. You know, not only did he have the blonde hair, but he'd be over there making all those noises. But what a great kid. Loved coaching him.
Pre Humphrey, I wonder if you could sum up what he's meant to you guys and what do you think enables his success?
Yeah, well, and he's still young. So he's a very good athlete, great balance, ex-wrestler, great balance and upper body strength. He's got lower body, one of the stronger guys on the team. And he's got a nice feel for the game, plus he's very intelligent. Yeah.
Andy, what do you think of Tyquan so far?
Yeah, I like what I've seen. He's working hard at it. He's made some big catches out here, working his routes, playing physical in his transition game there. So you just got to keep coming. We're still young in this thing, so we got to keep bringing it here.
How have Simmons and Moore looked so far at your tackle spots?
Yeah, they've done some good things. They're getting better. They get better and better every day. So it's been good that way. Young guys working. So, looking forward to getting the pads. It's hard to evaluate them in doing this, but it's we'll see how they do with the pads on.
Impressions of Jalen Royals too, your rookie receiver Jalen Royals.
Yeah.
Certainly impressions of him.
Yeah, so he looks like he's very smart because we're in our third install here today, and we load him up with plays early, and he's been able to retain a lot of the things the newer stuff that we introduced to him before and the new stuff we've introduced now. So that's a good sign. And then he's made some catches. You've seen it out here. He's made some catches. And does he have a long way to go? Yeah, well, he's got to keep working and work through all of this. And we'll see how it goes when everything's flying.
Andy, what have your impressions been of Gardner Minshew so far leading the second team? He's been around the league, a lot of different systems, and how he's adapted to your offense.
Yeah, you can see that with Gardner. He, you can see that he's smart. He's got good accuracy. Poise, I think it's great to have him here. We're pleased to have him here, and you kind of have a heads up because he's actually started in games, so you kind of know how he handles the pressure in that. So we liked what we saw on tape, and I've seen the same thing here, so we should be fine.
Coach, you might have the best view of anybody because you're standing behind Patrick during practice. Are there still moments that you see him do something on a day like this and just be like, geez, where did that come from? Or are you just so focused on what's going on that it doesn't kick in sometimes?
No, I tell the coaches this all the time. You never take that for granted. So appreciate every one of those throws he makes, because you don't get that very often in a career and as a coach. Yeah, absolutely. There are times I go, whoa, that was pretty good right there now. So, yeah.
Coach Reid, after a heavy workload last year, what are you expecting out of Kareem Hunt this year?
Yeah, you know, he's had an off season. He kind of missed two off seasons there, and he had this off season. He worked hard. Now he's coming into training camp. He's in good shape, and I would expect good things. He'll be in there rotating and doing his thing. And he's just a good solid football player. Love having him here.
Curious what you thought
of
bringing Stools to bring him aboard, and how valuable is it having a fourth tight end?
Yeah, so Brett gets a credit for that one. He loved him and loved what he saw, and so far the kid has done a nice job. Again, let's see how he does when things get going, but he's working in there. It looks like the quarterbacks trust him. They're throwing it to him. So it's positive. Yeah.
Last one, mate.
Andy, he's been with you the longest, I should say, but I know it's just 3 days in. Any difference you're seeing in the way Travis is moving before you get to pads?
Yeah, he's felt right now. It looks like he's 20. He's doing a good job. He's in great shape. And I'm not sure he didn't come in first on the whole conditioning thing. He was right up front. You can see he's been working out. You saw him yesterday on the long one where he had the burst, and so he's doing a nice job. He's worked hard to get to the spot here. So,
thanks, Coach.
Yep.
All right, so that was Andy Reid. How about that at the end? I thought that was interesting. Certainly the question about
Jake
Travis.
Jake Brenningstuhl?
We'll get to Brenningstuhl. Yeah. But Travis Kelce, obviously. Look, we all know that he is very obvious if you're out of practice. He looks skinnier than he did this time last year. He said, hey, I didn't lose 30 pounds or whatever people were saying on social media. But he clearly has lost some weight. Andy Reid just said he might have been first in conditioning for this team when they do their big conditioning test.
He put it all in this offseason.
I mean, this could be it. So why not go in and you're truly we joke all the time in sports, like, oh, best shape of my life. Well,
he's probably in the best shape of his life, but he's in the best shape he's been in years. Yeah,
Andy joked there that he looks like he's 20 out there. That would be, obviously, there's a lot more to it, but that could be a huge, huge thing if you're looking at, hey, last year, we know what the national narrative is, that, hey, he's old and you can't count on him. All that's the national stuff. He obviously wants to prove people wrong, and he, at least in the offseason, it sounds like, has put in the work to be able to do that. Now, some of it is just flat-out ability. We'll find out in the regular season. Like, is he able to do that? But in terms of putting his body in position to do it, it sounds like he's done all that, which is obviously exciting to hear, I'm sure, for fans.
It could be a huge lift because we keep talking about, because it matters, the first 4 to 6 games when they'll be without Rashee Rice, or 2 to 6 games, whatever it ends up being. If you could just lean heavily on Travis Kelce some more, like you have pretty much the entirety of his career gold, well then, yeah, you're going to feel really, really, really good about the positioning you're in overall. I love, and look, it makes me think he's probably closer to the end. And then he's like, screw this. I'm going to do like the Marvel superhero training. And I'm going like to the very ends of the earth to make sure I am in the best shape of my life. I'm dead serious, though. I stand by this. We said it like 2 months ago, and I honestly think it has something to do with it. I think Travis Kelce watched how hard Taylor Swift has to work to do those shows and what it takes in order to do those across the country. He's like, damn, I could be working a little harder. Like, and I'm not saying he's not a hard worker, but I think when he witnessed that, he's like, okay, you know what? For at least 1 year, even if this is the last year, I'm going out all the way.
Yeah,
I'm going to figure out where it takes me. It's clear no matter what his motivations were.
Yeah, I don't know.
That
he's
decided to put himself in tremendous shape going into this season.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. As far as the Taylor Swift part, I have no idea. Yeah, I would love to know. I would love to know that. There's definitely a chance that's part of it. That's completely guessing at this point.
It's speculative, sure.
Yeah, I have no idea. All I know is, like you said, the result, though, looks pretty darn good right now.
Yeah.
If you're a Chiefs fan, you're like, hey, can he be that impactful? Remember, last year, the original plan was to have Rashee Rice healthy all year and be the guy, and Kelce to be the number two guy, really, in the offense. If we ever see that this year, and Kelce is in maybe better shape than he has been in 2 or 3 years, and they have a Rice back from a suspension at some point with Xavier Worthy, who, by the way, is going to join us probably in the next 2 to 5 minutes or so, as they finally got off the field from some of the side work and everything he was doing. This could be a fun wide receiver room. And then, yes, Drew was all excited in our year as Andy Reid was asked about Jake Brenningstuhl. He gave a ton of credit to Brett Veach there for bringing him up as Xavier Worthy's getting off the golf cart.
Veach loved him.
He did.
Veach loved him, he said.
He gave him all
sorts of props. Man, you might get a reprieve on Brenningstuhl tomorrow now, Drew. Somebody else is getting kicked off of the island tomorrow.
Tomorrow's cut is going to be tough. Yeah, tomorrow's cut is going
to
be really, really
tough. I'm going to need to see an Elijah Mitchell touchdown on social media today. I'm worried him or Jared Wiley or one of these other guys is going to start running into problems. I'm fearful of the risk that's coming with it, Gold. I'm not going to lie.
He also mentioned Jalen Royals and how he feels like he's already got some of the stuff down pat, which is good, obviously, for him, too.
Yeah, a little bit outside of that, but yeah, I'm curious to see which way it goes, I guess. Camp Darling Island going to be very tough, Gold, very tough in the decision-making tomorrow. So we'll see exactly how that goes and where exactly we lead here as we make those difficult decisions. But yeah, your boy Jake, that certainly didn't hurt him, I'll say.
We're about to be joined by Chiefs wide receiver Xavier Worthy. Our training camp interviews brought to you by Powell Exteriors KC, your one call for siding, window replacement, custom decks, and roofing in the KC Metro, and also by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip now at stjoemo.com as we have Chiefs wide receiver Xavier Worthy joining us now here on Cody and Gold. Great to have you on the show, man. How are things going? I know no pads on or anything yet, but you guys are lucking out weather-wise, too.
Oh, yeah, the weather feels good right now. It just feels good to be out here and play some football.
I got
to
ask, though, you're like one of three players that are wearing pants, though, out there. For our listeners, there's no pads or anything yet, but yeah. No shorts? Was there a story behind this?
No. I'm just a track guy, so, you know, okay. We wear sweats to keep the legs warm, keep them fresh.
Fair enough.
My guess was like, maybe he just runs cold, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe he just likes to keep you wear me when it's 100?
Yeah.
Oh. I guess you're wearing pants during the season too. So
Texas, Kansas City. I guess you're used to the heat.
Come on, man. You already know it.
Speaking of Texas, we were curious just because as you get out of college and you're now a pro, how close do you still pay attention to what the alma mater's doing? Like, do you get in the same thing? Like, hey, how's Arch looking? Do you text guys? How close attention do you pay to it?
Yeah, I still got some guys on the team, but a lot of my guys are now in the league, so. We just kind of keep in contact. We talk a lot of trash to each other. Some of us are going to be playing each other, so we talk a lot of trash too.
Is there a lot of that in the club or in the locker room as well with you guys, as far as like Texas versus Bama versus Oklahoma, whatever? Right? Is there a lot of that like college allegiance trash talk during the football season when it starts?
When the season comes, say we play each other that week. It's a little rivalry, a little friendly bit. So we got to wear the jersey if we lose or stuff like that.
Is that the worst punishment you've had for a bet like that?
Yeah, for sure.
Was it last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, don't remind me.
I didn't want to talk
about it. Texas, Georgia, or
it's
whatever.
It's a new year.
Fair enough. Now, also, were you happy, though, with the way the combine went down? All the talk, I think it was Isaiah Bond, the 40-yard dash and all that. And then you're still the guy when it comes to that, right?
Yeah, it's all good, man. I mean, lessons learned.
Do you get – yes, this sounds – you get like a trophy for that? Do they hand you something like – fastest guy in the history of the combine?
Nah.
You have a little plaque made up?
Nah.
Or just something you wear in your chest?
Just bragging rights. It's just bragging rights, man.
When you look outside of, like, just the normal results of the season, you obviously had statistically a very good Super Bowl and a very good playoff run. How hard is it to be like, okay, I still did some really good things in those things, but, you know, balance that with the disappointment of the results of the final game?
Right. I feel like as a competitor, you gotta hate losing more than you love winning, so... As the competitor in me, I took the loss, but I had a great Super Bowl, so it's just more of a building stature. So I just need to build off of what I did.
That feels like a way like Mahomes approaches it. He hates losing more than he enjoys like this part of it.
100%. I can't even like even after wins, I feel like I don't even celebrate. After a loss, I'm more of like in a down mood. So it's like it has more of an effect on you than winning.
We're talking to Chiefs wide receiver Xavier Worthy here on 96.5 The Fan. What's the next step look like for you? As Cody mentioned, statistically and everything, we saw you build up as the year went on. Clearly, you got more comfortable in the offense. They trusted you more as well. What's the next step for you, you think?
Right, just building that rapport, building that connection. We started building our rapport connection later on in the season, and I feel like we're just going to keep stacking on it.
What about the deep passes? That was a huge talking point, obviously, early in the season, and whether it was spatial awareness, things like that. How do you, I guess, get better at that? Because at camp last year, we saw plenty. We've seen it at camp this year. But in the regular season, maybe it wasn't fully there yet for you guys.
Right, just a lot of miscues and just executing from the miscues. I feel like if we hit those, we're having a different conversation right now. So just hitting the opportunities when they're there and when we got them.
As the season went on last year, your depth per target, the team's depth per target went down. Were you guys making, I guess, an intentional effort to say, hey, let's just do the small things right, get down the field, and then we'll take care of it in the red zone? As it became clear, maybe some of those miscues were going to continue throughout?
Right. I mean, it was just more of an understanding, like, things aren't working, so you got to adapt. If something's not working, you got to change your game plan, change your format. So we just did what was working, and it worked out for us.
People always talk about the difficulty of Andy Reid's you know, like his playbook and learning the offense and all the other stuff. It doesn't seem like, I mean, you obviously, your statistics are significantly better in the second half of the season as you guys continue to grow. Do you feel like any part of that was just like, okay, I know what I'm supposed to do now? versus, like, you know, how long it takes to maybe pick up on what you're supposed to do at the NFL level?
Right, exactly. It's more of a – you can understand a playbook. I understood the playbook 100% at the beginning of the year, but it's more of like a understanding the game, more of anything. Like understanding that, oh, they're going to run this coverage, so I need to run this route like this and get friendly like this. So just understanding what the defenses are going to do.
Andy was talking about Jalen Royals a little bit and how it seems like he's picking up things pretty well. He said one of the things he notices is how smart he is already.
100%.
What are you seeing from Jalen Royals and some of the young guys that are in that room with you?
Right, a lot of them just like really smart and really into that. But all of us are showing good effort. All of us are really a team, and we're really bonded in the room. We're having celebrations, creating celebrations as a unit, just having fun out there.
I think you mentioned during OTAs that it's year two for you, but you said some of the guys are still treating you like a rookie. Is that still happening here in St. Joe, or is it now year two Xavier Worthy?
Hey, man, it's year two X, man.
When you look at, like, if there's one thing I know about, like, being a professional athlete on that end, you guys get a little bit of free time in the offseason. Did you pick up a new hobby? Pick
golf,
up some
man.
Old
golf.
Okay. How are you shooting? Like, are you?
I'm in the 90s. Not too bad. I mean, it's been like, what, a month? Not nothing crazy, but I'm learning. I'm getting there.
Wait, so you're already golfed? In the 90s and you've only been playing golf a month?
Yeah.
That's not fair. For the rest of
professional athlete, easy to pick up another sport, yeah. I guess.
Are you taking lessons or just getting out on the course?
I got at my country club in my house in Texas, I got like a guy that helps me like with my hands, my feet, my setup and stuff. So he helps me a little bit.
Who's good in the wide receiver room? Anybody else that can golf?
We got Hollywood getting on the golf. I don't know who all plays in the wide receiver room, though. But
on the team, is there anybody that
– We already know Pat, Trav. Those guys are good. Yeah.
They let you out on the course with them yet?
No, I'm not going with them yet. I need to get good before I go with them.
Do you know what they're shooting these days?
Pat's probably in the 70s.
Okay.
Trav's probably like in the 70s, 80s. So I got to get good before I go over there. I ain't trying to go over there and just get blown out.
I don't know. I mean, those guys seem like they might like to put something on the course, too.
Yeah, I'm cool. That's all the way.
How far do you hit your driver?
Like 280, 285.
I mean,
not too bad.
No, that's pretty good.
Not too bad.
Again, for a brand new golfer, I'm impressed. What were you doing in the previous offseason? Do you have hobbies before? You just said, I want to pick up something else.
I play a lot of video games.
Okay. What'd you play?
Call of Duty, Madden, NCAA.
Okay.
Playing the new college football game?
Nah, it's trash. I got blown out the first week, and I was
so
cool.
Everybody's saying that this year, last year everybody's excited because we didn't have it for a decade, and now I didn't buy the game this year either. It feels like last year was the year, and everybody's kind of moved on.
It was cool for a comeback. Everybody wanted it to come back, but now there's a comeback, and now it's basically Madden just in college form.
Just missed it. You didn't get a chance to have your.
If I was on it, I'd be playing it.
You didn't get a chance to actually be in the college.
Yeah, that's why I'm probably mad. That's why I'm probably salty.
Isn't Texas like the number one team on the game? Am I wrong this
year?
We're the number one team in real life.
Okay. Do you feel good about them this year?
Oh, Natty.
So, Arch, you're good with Arch. I know you didn't play with him, but, like, I'm
saying it now. Arch for Heisman.
Okay.
Arch going to get the Heisman. Okay. You're saying they're going to win the national championship.
100%.
Before we let you get out of here, I also saw that you were working with a new foundation in the offseason. We like to ask about that, too. Tell me about the Worthy Ones.
Man, it's just so my logo is like a W, but it's also two people and somebody in the middle. So, the two people are helping that one person up. Like, we're basically, like, just trying to help single parents or parents that are struggling, like, help them, like, build something for their kids, help them show them a way or show them how to help their kids and support their kids in any type of way.
Were there foundations like that when you were a kid, helped you out? Like, you know, like, because sometimes young guys don't get into the charitable game early, depends.
Right.
On what you kind of establish yourself.
Not where I'm from, it kind of was just like I had, like, my mom. So my mom was kind of like that person for me. So I want to just kind of show my mom, me and my mom kind of just want to show people, like, what we did and how we did it and how we could support any type of way.
Is she helping you with the foundation?
100%. She's, like, the main leader for it.
Okay. Mom helping. That helps.
100%.
Yeah, we'll keep our eyes out and ears out, obviously, for some things you got going on with the foundation. Appreciate
yes,
you coming
yes,
on the
sir.
Show, man. There
Appreciate
you go.
You.
Chiefs wide receiver Xavier Worthy with us here on Cody and Gold as training camp practice number three for us, at least, or number two for us, three up here has wrapped up. Good to talk to Xavier Worthy. Obviously, huge expectations for him heading into the season. Very confident about his Texas Longhorns, obviously. And of course, as you know, we were asking about the deep ball stuff. And it is true when we've had our conversations about you are literally a couple passes connecting last year away from saying, oh, well, the deep ball was fine. But
and he had 800 yards, not 650. Yeah,
early on in the season, like, he was stepping out of bounds, or Mahomes was obviously not connecting with him. And if they connect on those early in the season, then that's how the leap happens for Xavier statistically.
Yeah. Well, then, unfortunately, I thought he kind of got bogged down, and I was asking about this too, where when the offense realized that they were not going to regularly be this big play monster that everybody was anticipating – What ended up happening, Gold, is all the offense got more conservative, right? Everything got closer to the line of scrimmage. Everybody's depth of target went down. And everything felt like we're doing this like 2-3 yards away from the line of scrimmage. And when they kind of got into that mode, I felt like they just settled into that for the rest of the year and just like, this is who we are. We don't have Rasheed right now. Kelsey's not quite the same at this moment. We need to adjust to what we have and what works if we kind of get to that. So, yeah, definitely changes it.
All right, appreciate Xavier Worthy joining us here. Of course, our player interviews on Cody and Gold are brought to you by Powell Exteriors KC, your one call for siding, window replacement, custom decks, and roofing in the KC Metro, and by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip now at stjoemo.com. Up next, we'll get into the Chiefs Red Half Hour a little bit. We'll talk more about what he had to say and also what else we saw out there today, including the order of backfield depth at this point in time. That's coming up.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour as we continue to broadcast live from St. Joe. Practice is officially over. Thanks again to Xavier Worthy for joining us a couple minutes ago.
Of course, the Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. We can continue to talk about what we heard out of Xavier Worthy because, again, you and I both said, though, this is one of those, like, I'm not going to talk about how many deep passes they're completing at training camp this year.
Yep.
Show me in a game that it is real and that you are dedicated to it and that the offense can handle its capacity. And there's no reason to think that they can't. Xavier Worthy should have been a better deep threat. But then when you take away Hollywood Brown as a deep threat and Rasheed Rice as an underneath threat, it becomes more difficult to be like, hey, man, run straight and fast when there's nobody else to guard, right? And so when you're down to just guarding Sky Moore or other guys closer to the Juju, closer to the line, you don't have to put the resources. You can put better resources into the deep ball, but it is a prove-it thing for me. Well, I'm not discussing training camp deep balls.
Yeah, I mean, the next step, as we asked him about it, like how does all of a sudden he get himself in the category and conversation as one of, like, truly one of the better wide receivers in the league?
Yeah,
they're connecting on the deep passes. Because all of a sudden you go from having a 700, 800-yard, 900-yard season to having an 11, 1,200-yard season if all of a sudden you hit on 3 touchdowns north of 40 yards down the field. It can change your entire view of the season for that player. But I would guess, too, you get an enormous amount of confidence with how you performed in the playoffs and obviously the Super Bowl. I know a lot of players have the same mindset. I love, though, he went out of his way to make sure and let us know about the – he can't stand losing. I understand that no athlete likes to lose. But, like, he was – like, we always hear – like, he was making sure that, like, he –
he's like, even when we win, I don't really enjoy it. When we lose, I hate it.
Disgusted by it.
Yeah, good.
Basically, which, yeah, you love to hear that as a fan as well. Real quick, just pivot for a second. It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We've had a lot of texts on it. We mentioned it earlier in the show. But if you missed the news today, one of the most recognizable, I think, pop culture figures over the last 30, 40 years at least, obviously maybe the most famous wrestler ever.
I think you can make an argument
right?
for that,
Hulk Hogan passing away today, according to TMZ, at the age of 71. He was inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame back in 2005. Obviously, he did a bunch of reality shows. I mean, he was in movies. Truly a pop culture figure passing away today at age of 71. Some more of the details coming out. I unfortunately went into cardiac arrest this morning at his Florida home, and he was pronounced dead at a hospital, according to police in a statement on Facebook. But this, I'm not a huge wrestling guy, but everybody knows who Hulk Hogan is.
He is one of the most recognizable pop culture characters of all time. And I would guess one of the people who single-handedly is responsible, not single-handedly, but he's one of the people most responsible for wrestling's current popularity.
He was the guy.
Wrestling is incredibly popular, and Hulk Hogan is a huge reason why there are as many wrestling fans as there are.
Yeah, that's the thing, like, because it transcended wrestling. Because as I said, and I think you to a certain extent, neither one of us are claiming to be these huge diehard WWE fans or something, but everybody knows who Hulk Hogan was and his role in WrestleMania. Is basically, he was the face of it initially when they started doing that in the 80s and everything. So, yeah, when you think about wrestling, he's probably the first, if not second. I think first, probably. Him and The Rock are the first two names I ever think of as a very outside, casual viewer of anything wrestling.
They were in a match together once. Yep. They had a very
Andre the Giant, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Just one of the more recognizable characters probably in our lives. Yeah. As far as, like, when you think pop culture and people who are inside of it, so, yeah.
And I know he was controversial in the last decade or so, obviously, of his life, but as far as a wrestling career and pop culture career,
Certainly one that stands
out. One of the
out.
Biggest stars, period. So Hulk Hogan passing away at the age of 71. While we were talking to Xavier Worthy, Creed Humphrey was also speaking to members of the media. We also can get into what Steve Spagnuolo had to say about Nick Bolton. I want to actually get to that first, then we can hear from Creed. Steve Spagnuolo yesterday was talking about Nick Bolton. And we've known from day one, this goes back to even like when we were discussing will they give him a contract extension or not. Steve Spagnuolo, the way he talked about Nick Bolton was the reason why I thought that he was going to get an extension. Basically, like, way too much praise over the years, talking about his leadership, the green dot, orchestrating this whole defense. And then you hear what he said yesterday. Listen to this.
Yeah, he's just about everything, you know. He's Patrick Mahomes for us. I've said this before. And we're pretty multiple defensively. So if you don't have that guy, it gets really challenging. I had back when we didn't know we were getting Nick, because it was, you know, I had to, in my mind, I was preparing, if we don't have Nick, what do we do? And it's just not the same. So thank God he's here.
I think Spags had a huge role, man, a huge role in him getting this contract.
So as you know, not really pro paying linebackers all that often. I feel like it's a position you can replace. He was available in the second round. He was immediately a starter. Even for Spags, where rookies don't start very often, all the stuff that comes with it. I was like, you know, it's a linebacker. You can find tackling middle linebackers. And I don't feel like Chiefs fans talk about Nick Bolton the way they used to talk about a tackling middle linebacker and Derek Johnson and the way that they loved him and thought he fed the entire defense. I am reshaping my opinion on Nick Bolton and that contract almost just based on Spag's opinion of him alone. I don't think that position or some of his flaws necessitate that contract. But if Spags is going to come on a microphone and say he is the Patrick Mahomes for us, and he's essentially having nightmares, waking up in sweats every night, imagining how they were going to do their defense without Nick Bolton, well, I'm going to take those words pretty seriously and assume that he's been at, other than Chris Jones, borderline the heartbeat of the defense this entire time.
Well, in the same offseason, I think it really would have been devastating to lose Reed and Bolton in the same offseason. From a leadership, yes, but also more to what Spags was saying, which is he does everything for us. He knows where everybody's supposed to be. He's got the green dot, all that. If you would have lost Justin Reed and Bolton the same offseason, I think you would have understandably expected the defense to take a couple steps back. And so that, to me, is also why, you know, if they would have kept Justin Reed and not Nick Bolton, I think we'd be having a similar conversation about Justin Reed and how important he is. Now, they think they have more behind Justin Reed with the drafting of Jaden Hicks. So, of course, yeah. Justin Reed is now in New Orleans, much like Tyrann Mathieu did at the time, the same path, ironically. And they're going to lean on Jaden Hicks way more and Shamari Connor and some of these other guys in the second. And they also brought back a veteran in Mike Edwards to maybe help have a veteran presence in that safety room as well. But, yes, Nick Bolton, I know people get frustrated.
It's hard to hear those words there and will not be take it serious.
There will be a game this year in which Nick Bolton's caught in coverage and it's a liability. That'll happen.
Bowers will turn him into a blender, yeah, and it'll be like,
it's going to happen, and people will get frustrated. But I think there's way more of that on the plus side of what he brings to the table.
And
run game, orchestrating the defense, all
the
that kind of stuff. But the run game in particular, I mean, they don't, that Falcons game, a lot of things happened in that Falcons game. I think it was Sunday Night Football last year when Kirk Cousins was still the quarterback. He won the game for them. He sealed the game for them. It was a fourth down stop, if I remember right.
Yeah, like, they kept stuffing Bijan there short and are really good against good running backs in the history of the time Nick Bolton's here. The way I view it is, like, part of his stuff and the stuff that's always tough, like we talked about the Adam Frazier deal for the Royals, the things that are really hard to measure gold are the things that you and I cannot physically see. I can see if he gets beat in pass coverage. I can see if he makes a tackle. I can see if he gets a sack. I can see the things he does. I can't know that because he's got the dot on his head, he is literally responsible for every other person on the defense, and nobody does anywhere close to as good of a job as he does, as getting everyone positioned and where they're supposed to be. You know, I can't see that, so it's always hard to, like, measure it in a way. Spags is telling you, measure it in a huge way. He did not want to operate his defense without Nick Bolton. He didn't want to know what it would look like to have his defense operated without Nick Bolton. There's a reason why, like, even though I see a guy like Leo Chanel, and I'm like, I don't know, man, that guy's a physical freak. You telling me he can't just play down every down and just, like, take care of some stuff? No, there's some things behind the scenes that are important that Nick Bolton does, in addition to the things he does well on the football field. I'm not trying to pretend like Nick Bolton can't play football. It's not that. Everybody's got weaknesses
in their games. The high IQ, all of that comes together, right? Like, all of it is a big reason why they say what they have said about Nick Bolton. From day one, this is not just Spags saying it now that he's got the contract. I mean, this is stuff he was saying about Nick Bolton 2 years ago. And how valuable and important he was and is to this Chiefs defense. Creed Humphrey also spoke to members of the media. We all know about Creed Humphrey. It's kind of funny. He's at the point now, like, all right, he's already got his new contract last offseason. He's now just like he's one of those guys, like, you don't talk about much anymore because, all right, I know what I'm getting. I know what I'm getting from Nick Bolton. And
a spider on you?
Giant spider. I know what I'm getting from Creed Humphrey, I should say, and you don't have to say much more than that. But this is what he had to say about some of the young guys now on the offensive line with him.
Yeah, well, you could tell all OTAs, you know, it was something that he was working nonstop on it, you know, making sure he was getting healthy as quick as he could. So that was awesome to see. And he's moving really well, playing really well right now. He seems to be fully healthy, and he's getting after it. So it's been a lot of fun to see.
So that was the response to a question about Josh Simmons and what they've seen from him. That's after we already heard the other day from Andy Reid. Now, Andy did once again say, and this is important for anybody, and it's a reminder for all of us too, the rep thing has been a huge topic of conversation. Like, Josh Simmons, first-team reps at left tackle. Jalen Moore, first-team reps at right tackle. But as Andy said today, they got to see what happens when the pads are on. And that's ultimately how they're going to tell, like, is Josh Simmons at that level? And Sunday will be the first day. So if you're coming up to camp, as we said to start the show, any day they're wearing pads is a better day to be here. It just is. And Sunday's your first day. If you got tickets for Sunday, congratulations. You'll see him in pads for the first time at training camp.
I am curious to see Simmons. And I'm not trying to pretend like I grind the tape. I know where his hand placement is. I'll just tell you right now, if you knew nothing about offensive line play and you simply just watched two grown men push each other, Joshua Simmons is strong. Like, he's making other strong men look weak, is my initial analysis of what we've seen of Josh Simmons without pads on. The second they get the pads on, can he continue? And again, my bigger question for him right now isn't even because based on what we've seen, he's strong, looks like he can play, looks like he's ready to play. My thing will be, can that knee hold up tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, for weeks, Gold, up here in the heat, up here in St. Joe, in a preseason game, can Joshua Simmons hold up? Can that surgically repaired leg feel good 3 weeks from now? Doesn't matter if it's not sore, that's fine. But can you continue to give the same amount of reps and energy and reps and all that other stuff? That's still where I am. I'm still asking about the injury, not the ability. Because even in the short time here, I think everyone sees the ability. Everyone sees he's kind of a monster. I don't think there's any questions
about
that
part
of it.
It's all about the health, man. And health on back-to-back days and as you were saying, 4 days in a row of pads, and what's he doing on the fourth day? Is he still capable? Is there a setback? That's the test. I think this time next week, though, Cody, we'll have a really, really good idea. Not like, oh, is he going to be a future All-Pro? I'm talking like in this season, to start the season, we'll have a really good idea of, all right, is he totally fit and ready to roll, and that won't be any sort of limitation for him. And knowing that Juwan Taylor, at some point in the next 10, 14 days maybe.
Maybe less,
is going to be back at camp. And so they'll have a decision to make with Moore and Simmons. Now, they can continue to rotate those guys. They can rotate those guys.
And they like it.
And what happens in the first preseason game? Same thing. You know, does Simmons look sharp? Does he not? You know, last year, Kingsley, there were times where he looked good in preseason, and it didn't matter. So
there was times. That's what's so weird about Kingsley getting benched is there was like a whole half of football in which Kingsley looked okay last year, and then by week two, he'd been run out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times in which I'm like, he's not over his head. Now, in that final game before he got benched, he was definitely over his head, but still, it's kind of wild.
This is what Creed had to say about having Kingsley to his left now as a potential left guard.
Yeah, he's been doing awesome. He's a great player, extremely talented, obviously, and he works really hard. So it's been really good to see how he's been working and how he's taking on the new role and has adapted to it, learning a new position and everything. And he's done a really good job with it, you know. Physical player, talented player, athletic as well. And, he's picking up the playbook really well. So we're excited about him.
I think the other part that could end up being good for Kingsley, if in fact he performs well here at camp and wins the job at left guard over Caliendo, is not many people are talking about him. We're all talking about Josh Simmons. We're talking about left tackle. Guard, you're going to go unnoticed more from a fan media perspective. Yeah. Now, he's notable because
unless
of what happened. He's going to be notable because of what happened last year. But in general, this camp, I don't think we're going to have a ton of conversation about Kingsley.
I'm guessing he could fly under the radar a huge chunk of the season. If he just wants to...
It's great for a guard.
...hide away. Well, you know, for a player who had a tough first year, and I imagine mentally, Gold, that was probably tough on you. You got benched. You were a second-round pick. You got to be the starter day one. You then got benched in, like, 2 weeks. Never got to be back to being a starter ever again. You got tossed back in once or twice more. It went poorly. I imagine just from a confidence perspective, being able to just blend into the crowd. And look, if Simmons is the goods, you know Creed's great. Your job might be easy this year. Your job actually might not be. Being the left guard, depending on, again, I know it depends on Simmons, but like sure. You could end up having a pretty easy gig overall because of the guys around you doing some of the heavy lifting. Because Creed is about as good as they come. According to every NFL scout, I understand, you know, we started Creed as good and all that other stuff, but, like, I can't evaluate center play on a daily basis. I just know he's one of the best centers in the league, and he makes pretty much no mistakes after he got his snapping stuff taken care of. That seems like a distant memory.
That was resolved in one offseason.
Yeah, he had a couple weeks off, and he's like, cool, got it.
They got that thing
just changed his grip, and they were all squared away.
All right, up next, we will get to what's trending. We'll talk more about some of the division leaders that are most vulnerable in the NFL, and Drew has three camp questions for us next.